up there at Kingscliff. Scotty Foster will be along for a chat, and we'll get a sports update with Tanya. All that next hour. Let's go, Raven.
Kim Cartwright. Police are appealing for women who may have been sexually assaulted while using a ride-sharing service to come forward as they investigate an Uber driver accused of raping a young passenger three times in Queensland. The 47-year-old man has been remanded in custody. Detectives believe he may have abused other women collected late at night from central Brisbane during the last 2 years. The accused rapist is due to return to court on July 31. A man wearing a camouflage suit is wanted over two attacks on the New South Wales Central Coast. In the first, which happened in May, a 12-year-old girl was thrown into bushland and tied up at Narara before being sexually assaulted. In the second attack, an 18-year-old girl was grabbed from behind at Narara railway station, but she managed to break free. Georgie Wells at police headquarters told Macquarie Radio police believe the same man was involved in both cases.
Both girls have described the man as being aged in his mid-20s, at between 175 and 180 centimetres tall, with a chubby build, grey to blonde hair and blue eyes. And they've also described various items of camouflage clothing.
French President Emmanuel Macron says he has not given up on trying to get US President Donald Trump to change his mind about withdrawing the United States from the Paris Climate Change Agreement. Macron plans to host a summit on December 12 to move the Paris deal forward, aiming to mobilise private and public funding for the projects committed to. Host of the G20, Germany's Angela Merkel, says she deplores the stance of the United States on the issue, but is glad the other 19 leaders are working together.
Wherever there are differences in opinion, we shouldn't gloss over those differences. And this is the spirit by which we were guided in our work. And I think the G20 were able to stabilise the world in one of the greatest crises of the world. And we also say what was true then continues to hold. We can achieve more together than by acting alone.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has become the first foreign leader to fly in the presidential jet with French President Emmanuel Macron. The Prime Minister says he and Mr. Macron discussed countering terrorism, boosting trade, and Australia's $50 billion submarine contract with France during the 75-minute airborne meeting. Later today, Mr. Turnbull will visit the town where the first sub will be built and open an Australian office at the site. 8 people have been found dead under the rubble of a collapsed apartment building near the southern Italian town of Naples. The 5-storey apartment, built in the 1950s and overlooking the sea, crumbled at around 6:20 a.m. local time on Friday. The victims included 2 young brothers aged 14 and 8. US actor Nelson Ellis, best known for playing the character of Lafayette Reynolds on True Blood, has died at the age of 39. Ellis's manager confirmed the actor's death due to complications from heart failure. The Illinois-born actor, who studied at Juilliard, played the role of Lafayette on the vampire drama from 2008 to 2014 and more recently appeared in the detective series Elementary. Briefly, the Middleton Volunteer Fire Station in Tasmania has been engulfed by flames, with the cause of the blaze believed to be suspicious. An estimated $600,000 damage has been caused to the station building and 2 fire trucks. Anyone with information is asked to contact Kingston CIB or Crime Stoppers. This is AIR News. Parramatta have taken advantage of an Origin-depleted Melbourne to post a 22-6 victory in the NRL. With the competition-leading Storm missing 6 of their stars, the Eels benefited from having no State of Origin representatives to book their 3rd successive win and consolidate their top 8 berth. The Eels raced to a 16-0 lead, with halfback Mitchell Moses orchestrating their attack. Bustling winger Semi Radradra ran 199 metres for the match and made 4 line breaks while picking up a first half try. Eels coach Brad Arthur says the Storm put up a good fight regardless.
I thought they showed why they're the premiership favourites. But you know we got a bit scrappy at times. We set a goal to get a couple of wins in and around the buys, and we put ourselves in a reasonable position.
In other results, the Sea Eagles lost 16-8 to the Panthers. Sydney Swans have stormed into the AFL top eight with a 67-point dismissal of the Gold Coast Suns at the SCG. Lance Franklin and Gary Rowan combined for 8 goals when the Swans boosted their percentage and embarrassed a Suns outfit that struggled without Gary Ablett. Final score 17-16, 118 to 7-9-51. Briefly in world number one, Angelique Kerber has shrugged off a scare from American outsider Shelby Rogers to advance to the next round of Wimbledon, 4-6, 7-6, 6-4, while Milos Raonic and Sam Querrey are both through in the men's. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Light rail construction is ramping up in Circular Quay. Alfred Street is closed to traffic and access to the rocks is now via George Street. Visit livetraffic.com for more information. In Uncliffe, we've got a two-car accident northbound Princes Highway at Argyle Street, also in Uncliffe. Look out for a car broken down eastbound on the M5 East at Mar Street, which is not helping traffic flow into the airport. We already have delays with Mar Street and Airport Drive heavy on approach to the international terminal. Is your bedroom in need of an upgrade? Well, during the Snooze Stock Day sale, get up to 40% off their bedroom furniture. It's amazing what a little snooze can do. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny, patches of light morning frost in the outer west. Winds westerly 15 to 25 k's, becoming light in the late afternoon. Good news is 0% chance of any rainfall today. A beautiful winter's day.
Mm.
Plenty of sunshine, 18 degrees in Sydney. Mm. Jim, what's the current temperature at Woolloomooloo? And where else? We went down south to Wagga Wagga.
Woolloomooloo, funny you mentioned that, Roman. It's the venue for today's Christmas in July. Currently 12 degrees. I think we're going to get a very sunny day today, which is fantastic for everyone. Wagga Wagga, place of many crows. It is morning fog this morning and a maximum temperature of 13 degrees.
You need more cash flow for your business, but the bank says no.
You want to use it to attract new customers, but the banks still say no.
You've got a great track record and a strong credit score, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Guys, whether it's directly or indirectly, all of us have been impacted by cancer. Here's an easy way you can make a difference.
Cancer Council Australia has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They're aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians.
But we need more blokes. So if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up at abcstudy.com.au. It can be done from home and in your own time.
It's all about investigating the causes of cancer and other diseases. The Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. Get on board today at abcstudy.com.au.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the final hour of the program. Coming up very shortly, our legend of the game is Wayne Junior Pierce, who of course captained New South Wales to a series win, a series whitewash of Queensland back in 1986. And that's, of course, on the eve of the big match up there at Suncorp Stadium. We'll have a chat with Brendan Santolo very shortly from the Western Sydney Wanderers. Their massive game against Arsenal during, well, it's next week. Sydney FC playing them as well. 160,000 plus at ANZ Stadium across those 2 days. Dean Bulldog Ritchie very shortly as well. And then Scotty Foster. We'll take your calls leading up to the 10 o'clock finish of the program too. 13:53:53. Lots of people wanting to have their say about our talk topic today too. Brats. Following the outburst of Bernie Tomic, the Brats in sport. So keep them coming in. And remember, we will give away a double pass to the Arsenal v Sydney FC game and a double pass to the Arsenal v Western Sydney Wanderers game, all courtesy of ANZ Stadium. We'll mention that a little bit later on in the hour. But right now, it's a chance for us to take a walk down memory lane, and we like to do this every week. And we're going to do it today with a man who played 193 games for the Tigers, 19 tests, 16 origins, 3 Origins in 1986 when he was captain of the Blues and they won that series 3-0. It's great to have Wayne Junior Pierce on the line. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, Junior. Ray, how are you?
Morning, Wayne.
Yeah, really well. We really appreciate your time on a Sunday morning and giving us a chance to look back at what was a special moment in your career. But again, we have to go back to before 1986 and go to 1985, where it was a real drought breaker for New South Wales, and it sort of set the tone then and gave New South Wales an understanding of just how much this state of origin meant. Did you get that feeling, Wayne?
Yeah, I did. I mean, people could talk about the 1985 series, now we won it for the first time, but a lot of people don't know that was the first. So Origin started in 1980, mm-hmm. and I started playing in 83, and it wasn't until 1985 that New South Wales went into a full camp, which Queensland had done pretty much every year since Origin started.
Right.
New South Wales didn't go to a full camp preparation on the basis that Queensland had until 85. So, you know, I think the administrators from New South Wales' point of view didn't take it serious until 85, notwithstanding the fact that Queensland had some great players, but with a good preparation. The fact that we had two games at home that year, I mean, that was a great effort. Steve Warner did a great job leading the side, and we came up with a victory for the first time.
That was a 2-1 that series win in 85, as Jimmy mentioned earlier, Wayne. 86, you get named captain of the Blues, and one, obviously, a tremendous honour, but two, when you went into camp for game one, was there a feeling you were on the verge of something pretty special that year?
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of confidence from the 85 series win. We won the first two games, but lost the third game. Mm. And then we were going into a series in 86 where we had two games in Queensland. So the first and third games were up in Queensland, which was always going to be a big test. That was the old Lang Park, the true cauldron, the old where, you know, the New South Wales supporters got pelted with cans and stuff like that in the crowd. It was a real different atmosphere to what it is now. And it was a difficult environment for the supporters. But from a player's point of view, it really got you pumped up, particularly the trip to the ground, which is, you know, it's well known now that the trip to the ground, we used to go down Caxton Street and the bus would come under fire from people sort of throwing stuff at the bus. If there was a lot of traffic, the bus would get rocked by people coming up and the Queensland supporters coming up and rocking the bus. So, I mean, that was a really unique atmosphere, which doesn't happen nowadays because they've blocked that pathway for the bus to go. Mm. But it was just a great build-up to that particular series up there. And we started off with a win in the first game, and that set the momentum.
Yeah, led early in that game, 12-2, and then at one stage in the second half, you were down 16-12. So to come back up at Lang Park, as you mentioned, a great effort. The thing I really recall about this game is Roy Simmons being basically knocked senseless. And knowing what we do now, the fact that he was allowed to continue is, you know, you just wouldn't see it this day and age. The more incredible thing is that he was given man of the match status, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, Royce, I remember that game quite clearly when Royce got knocked out, and I think it might have been Greg Dowling or someone like that sort of hit him and got him in the head, which was, I don't think it was even penalised. And yeah. Royce went down and he was groggy. As you say, nowadays he would definitely be removed from the field and not allowed to go back on, but he stayed on the field and he actually scored, from memory, I think it was a try late in the game that basically won us the match. And, you know, he was, for me, he deserved man of the match, and he displayed incredible toughness to pretty much take us to victory in that match. Mm. And that was, I think that was the biggest winning margin in the series. Now, we won by 6 points in that first game, and then I think it was 4 and 2 points in the next two games.
It just got tighter and tighter after that, Wayne, because game two was back in Sydney, and then at the SCG, a then-record Origin crowd of just over 40,000. It was almost like game one revisited. Queensland led early in the second half, 16-12, and just like in game one when Roy Simmons stepped up, you needed someone to step up for the Blues, and in this case it was Peter Sterling and Brett Kenny.
Yeah, Sterlo and Bert Kenny. They had a fantastic match between themselves. But having said that, the forwards really laid the foundation in that match. It was a really torrid encounter. But I was, from my point of view, I was really pleased with the way our guys just dug deep and came back once again from behind. And there was a lot of, in this particular team, there was a lot of confidence, and no one dropped their bundle at any stage. And it was, it was just a great victory.
Mm. Wally Lewis was the god of Origin at that point. I think he'd won man of the match in 5 of the first 10 Origin matches ever played. When you're going into a game like that, a series, he's almost at the peak of his powers, Wally. How much did you focus on what he was doing, or did you and Coach Ron Willie just try and concentrate on what the Blues could do, Wayne?
Ron Willie was a sort of coach that was... He wasn't a real tactical coach as such. He was a guy that... wanted us to get, basically got you fired up, and he wanted the forwards to rip in, and we had to put some pressure on Wally and make sure we cut down his think time, and that was pretty much what we went about doing. And it was a game that Wally, is always going to be a difficult opponent, but I think Brett Kenny well and truly outplayed him in that game.
Going into game 3 then, the series is won, Wayne, and I'm just thinking, I was looking through the team changes for the two teams throughout the series, and I hope this is a portent of things to come for this week, because the Blues only made effectively 3 changes in the whole series, and only in the wings. In the first game 1, Steve Morris played, replaced by Brian Hetherington and then Brian Johnston. The only other change was Eric Groth came in for Andrew Farrer for game 3. In contrast, Queensland made a number of changes throughout the series, and then even though it was a dead rubber, this is one of the all-time great Origin matches. It's 16-all at half-time, plenty of controversy, a late Michael O'Connor penalty goal, the Blues clean sweep, 18-16, Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I can remember the game too. It was a real high-pressure cooker game. I mean, from the point of view, we had the series wrapped up, so for us, it was, I think... an amazing effort by Ron Willie to get us in the space where we were so determined to play right to the final whistle, having won the series. Because that's one of the challenges for any team that's got a series wrapped up 2-0 after game 2, is to maintain that deep-seated motivation for game 3. And it was a game where Wayne Bennett, well, that was his first series as a coach. He was under all sorts of pressure. And I think that's one of the reasons why Queensland made a number of changes through the series. That second half was, it was just a real slog because, as you said, it was 16-all at halftime and no tries scored in the second half. And it came back to a very difficult Michael O'Connor kick from out wide to put us a penalty goal to put us in front 18-16, and we defended that lead.
I mentioned Wally Lewis. I mean, there were stars across all that Queensland side. The best guys that you played against, and indeed the best guys you played with in that Origin arena, Wayne?
There's no doubt Wally Lewis was the most talented player played against, and at Origin was super consistent. From my point of view, as the guy that played alongside of and in terms of consistency, for me, Peter Sterling was the most consistent, and I rank him as the best player I've played with or against because of his consistency. But in that particular series, we had a lot of good, really good quality players, but Kenny was great. Gary Jack at the back was great. Roche, I mean, a teammate. We had guys like Noel Cleal, who he often goes underrated as an Origin player, but he was big, strong, had a good step, and he came up with a lot of line breaks in Origin, and sometimes he doesn't really get talked about as being a dominant Origin player. So we had a team that had a lot of good players, but the thing was, as you know, Jimmy, it's not just having a team full of good players; it's actually having the guys really connected and bonded and working together as one, and that's pretty much what happened in with that 86 side. You know, it was a team that just came together and worked really well as a unit.
Wayne, you achieved so much in the game. You're a part of unbeaten Kangaroo tours. You played for Australia, grand finals for Balmain, etc. Where does that 86 Origin clean sweep rate in your career?
Oh, that, for me, that was a very special occasion and wonderful memories. I mean, I remember after we won the series, game three up there, 3-0, we went back to, it was a nightclub up there, I can't remember what it was called now. I might have been Rosie's or the Rowers or something like
Rowers,
that.
Rowers, yeah, Rowers.
And we all went back there, and you know, I was a non-drinker, but I felt like I was drunk for the whole night, just on euphoria. But I remember it was just not long after the song, Bruce Springsteen's song, Born in the USA, was out, and all of us, to a man, we got the DJ to keep playing it over, but we were singing, not Born in the USA, Born down in New South Wales.
How good's that?
And it was just a wonderful experience. Yeah. And it ranks up there with one of the highlights of my career.
Yeah, much better than those grand finals, I'd imagine, Wayne.
Yeah, I prefer not to talk about it. Second one, 89.
I was going to ask you that. But you mentioned that New South Wales started going into camp in 1985, so they got how important that was in the preparation. But from what I understand, the first 3 or 4 days of Origin camp back in those days was just a drink-a-thon. So as a non-drinker, what were you doing?
Oh, I just try and keep the boys out of trouble. You know, that was my role. Because we didn't have a minders in those days.
Yeah, but, right.
It was interesting. I'd have to drive them home.
Fair enough.
Hey, Wayne, it'd be remiss us not to ask you about what's coming up on Wednesday night. All bias aside, who wins Wednesday night, Wayne?
Yeah, I mean, it's from, you have a look at the history of State of Origin, and it's often gone win-loss,
yep.
Because at Origin level, because the teams are so, such high quality. The motivation, that deep-seated motivation is for me the differentiator in tight contests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think New South Wales, you know, they just lost a bit of an edge in the second half in game two.
Yeah.
And that, because I think largely that was because that they'd won game one and they were comfortably up in game two, and then just dropped their intensity. But I think they're really aching after what happened last match, and I think that deep-seated motivation for me is the real decider in a contest like this. Yeah, it comes back to players on the field, and no doubt Queensland will also, they'll be suffering from the loss of Jonathan Thurston. Not so much for what he does on the field, but the fact that he's just not there. Mm. And I think New South Wales will win, and I think in the first two games, they were by far the better side. And when you look at it, the reason that they actually lost that last game was because they just took their foot off the accelerator in terms of the intensity, and that's all about your motivation. That won't be lacking in this game.
Mm. How's Mitchell? Have you spoken to him during the week?
Yeah, no, he's good. He's good, yeah. He's enjoying the build-up, and hopefully they'll be as selected. Hopefully Boyd Corden will pull through the session today 100%, and I think I'm quite confident that they'll come up with a victory, which, once again, in Queensland, will be a massive effort.
Yeah, huge. And, Wayne, we've got a question here from a caller. I wanted to know, please ask Junior if he really was the fittest player in the game back in the day.
No, I don't know about the fit. It depends on how you measure fitness. I used to try and... My philosophy was on marginal gains. It was on about all the little boxes. I wanted to tick as many boxes as I could so I'd be better prepared than anyone else, because I didn't have the physical attributes to sort of compete with a lot of other players. So I had to try and squeeze as much out of the lemon that I was, to much juice out of that lemon to compete. Yeah, so I was reasonably fit. So that was That was my, one of my trademarks, yeah.
Yeah, I think you squeezed the lemon, Wayne, no doubt about that. Hey, great taking a walk down memory lane. The golden times of winning Series 3-0, it seems a long time ago. Congratulations on that, of course, and really appreciate your time on a Sunday morning, Wayne.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that.
Thanks, bye-bye. Wayne.
There he is, captain of New South Wales back in 1986, and they win the Series 3-0. New South Wales have got to go up there to Suncorp Stadium and win Game 3. They're $1.75 favourites to do so, $2.10 the outsiders, Queensland. And you heard from Zorba, New South Wales, 13-plus, thanks very much, paying $4. Time now for a sports update very shortly. But right now we're going to speak to Western Sydney Wanderers player Brendan Santelope, who, of course, is going to be an important part of the Wanderers. Well, we hope he is, this game against Arsenal
He'll
coming up at ANZ Stadium.
He'll be playing.
Just a great opportunity, isn't it? Because 80,000 fans coming out to watch the EPL Giants play, which will be great. And Brendan's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Brendan.
Good morning, fellas.
Look, thanks very much for joining us. Really interested in what's going to transpire. Of course, you guys in the middle of pre-season training and you've got to play this friendly. So it puts a bit of a spanner in the works, Brendan.
Yeah, look, we've had to prepare as best as we can over the last few weeks for this game against some machines, really, in Arsenal. They're an incredible outfit and, you know, bound to win the Premier League, I feel, this season. So great spectacle for the game. And we're very much looking forward to coming up against Arsenal. They're just full of stars and they're world class. So, you know, hopefully I can swap a shirt with Lacazette.
Yeah, good morning, Brendan. Thanks for joining us. They call these games friendly, but there's a certain thing called pride on the line, isn't there, Brendan?
Yeah, definitely. And when you're coming up against sides like this, you're definitely expected to lose, but there's a certain margin that's acceptable. So we, you know, let's see who they play on the night. That we know that they're definitely got a majority of their stars here, which is fantastic for the fans.
Who was your EPL team growing up?
It was Liverpool, so okay, I was lucky to watch them play not so long ago against Sydney FC, and that was a fantastic night there at ANZ Stadium once again, and to a huge crowd, and I think we're looking at a different kettle of fish with Arsenal. They're a new level. They've just recruited so well this off season, and you know, the football that the fans will see from Arsenal on 15th against us is going to be class. Mm.
Brendan, I guess there's a level of excitement and anticipation when there's a build up to, say, a Sydney derby against Sydney FC. But what's the playing group like in recent days building up towards this Arsenal clash?
Yeah, I think there's a few nerves flying around because you probably don't realise how big the match actually is. Mm. And I think it's all about focus on your preparation and trying not to think about the names you'll come up against. Yeah. I was having a chat to one of the boys the other day, and I think we came up with a good strategy, and it was not to look at the names on the back of their jersey while we're playing. So, yeah, look, it's all about focus and preparing as best we can against like I said, a world-class outfit.
Let's talk a little about the Western Sydney Wanderers. Of course, we mentioned in pre-season training, you've been there since 2013. Makes you a veteran of the club, Brendan, the way Popper likes to turn over players. How's the feeling leading up to the next A-League season?
Yeah, very good, and we've recruited very well as well. Our new Spanish marquee arrived the other day, and he's in fantastic shape, and he'll be a great addition to our side, along with Bonavozia, Thwaite. You know, I think we still have a couple positions left to fill up as well. So, yeah, look, we have one goal, and that's to win the A-League, lift the grand final trophy as well, and you know, I think once we complete the trophy cabinet at the end of the year, we'll be very happy. And I may sound a little confident, but we have a great group of boys, and really looking forward to round one.
Your Wanderers fans would love to hear that confidence in your voice. Mm. Brendan, you're coming off a fantastic season, and You broke the club's all-time goal-scoring record with 37 goals after a 14 last season. But with these new additions to the club, particularly the marquee signings, etc., do you think your role will change in Popper's side for the new season?
Yeah, look, I think so. As we can see, the new marquee is a striker.
Yeah.
And coming from the La Liga, and you know that earns a lot of respect. And I'm happy to play whatever role will benefit for the team. There may be weeks where I'll be starting and the marquee will need a breather, I'm not sure, but I'm happy to play a role as possibly a super sub role this season. What I've been labelled as in the past, and last season was more of a starting role, which I thoroughly enjoyed. And look, it's all about working together and working with Oriol and winning the A-League at the end of the season, and whatever part I have to play to win that, I'm happy.
Yep. Do you have a preference? I mean, most sports people would like to start. Is that the same for you, Brendan?
Yeah, look, we all want to start, but yeah. I'm not selfish, and in the end, it's a benefit for the team. And my role when we made the grand final in 2014-15 was a super sub role, and I thoroughly enjoyed that. I scored goals and it worked for the team, so whatever it is, Popper's choice.
Yeah. Sunday, October 8th, first game versus Perth Glory. That's a home game too for the Western Sydney Wanderers. Oh, just how is that been without a Parramatta Stadium getting a refurb, but no real home ground? Is that a little bit of a distraction?
Yeah, look, initially I feel it was a distraction, and it was a difficult transition from Perth Tech, which was really a fortress for us. It was very difficult for teams to come there and pick up a point, let alone beat us there. So we struggled to find our feet a little bit at Spotless. And then towards the back end of the season, we got over that and we won some games. So I don't feel that will be the case this season. We had a year there. We know what we're in for. We're familiar with the place, and I'm hoping for a different story this season there.
Well, before all of that, you've got a big game to play against Arsenal. You're used to scoring goals at ANZ Stadium. You did it in the derby last year against Sydney FC. Let's hope you get one against Arsenal, Brendan. That'd be fantastic.
Cheers, guys, and to all the Arsenal fans as well. There's an open training session on Friday the 14th, and it's free to all. So there's 20,000 fans expected, so get down there and enjoy the Arsenal side.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. It's huge. Mm. Brendan, really appreciate your time this Sunday morning.
Cheers, guys. See you.
There is Brendan Santelab, Western Sydney Wanderers player. So, if you're an Arsenal fan, if you're a Sydney FC fan, if you're a Western Sydney Wanderers fan, call now, and we've got two sets of double passes to give away. The first to the game against Sydney FC at ANZ Stadium, Thursday the 13th of July. That's this Thursday. And the next game is against the Western Sydney Wanderers on Saturday the 15th of July. Gates open at 6 p.m. on both nights. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. They're centre line tickets, so they're great seats. Fantastic seats. If you're looking to go for tickets, if you want to, there's still tickets available. ArsenalInSydney.com.au, Arsenal in Sydney, all courtesy of ANZ Stadium. You must tell us who won the A-League last year. You must tell us who won your A-League. That's an easy one. We just want to give the tickets away, basically. Well done, Brendan. It was great to have him on the program. All right, we'll take a break. We've got a sports update. We've got a lot more coming through, including your calls on 1353 53.
Everyone knows a festival is only as good as its lineup, and this year, Volksfest 2017 boasts incredible deals across a wide range of Volkswagen models, like the new Amarok Core 4x4, tougher than ever, and yours from only $40,990 drive away, including impressive features like diff lock, app connect, and rear view camera. Don't miss out on this season of great deals during Volksfest 2017. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
The world's greatest fortnight of tennis is now on, and you won't want to miss a game, set, or match this Wimbledon with our great odds and offers. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
A slick Parramatta backline pulled it together in last night's defeat of an Origin-depleted Melbourne in the NRL game at Amy Park, winning 22 points to 6. It's the Eels' fourth straight victory. In the other game, Penrith somehow managed to bounce back from last week's flogging by Souths to beat Manly 16-8 at Pepper Stadium to keep a flicker of finals hopes alive. In fact, they have to win at least 5 of their last 8. Today it's Canterbury and Newcastle at Belmore at 4. The Sydney Swans have won 8 of their last 9 AFL matches, last night thrashing the Gold Coast 118-51 at the SCG to now sit in 7th spot on the ladder. While GWS has dropped back to 2nd after a 97-all draw with Hawthorn, their second draw in a row. Geelong 163 beat Brisbane 78, but the shock of the round was St Kilda annihilating Richmond 138-71. The Saints led 92-10 at half time. Round 16 Super Rugby and the Waratahs went down to the Jaguars 40-27 at the football stadium in what was the Argentinian team's first match on Australian soil. It was the 11th straight loss to an overseas team for the Tars, and the defeat soured the final home appearance of Dean Mum and Rob Horn. Overnight, the Kings 31 beat the Bulls 30, Stormers 52-15 over the Sunwolves. Meantime in Wellington, the third and deciding test between New Zealand and the British and Irish Lions ended in a 15-all draw, and with no overtime, the series tied up. No one was quite sure what to do next, but both captains Kieran Reid and Sam Warburton accepted the trophy together, and the official winners for photograph is a mixed match of both black and red jerseys. New Zealand coach Steve Hansen said the draw was a bit like kissing your own sister. Chris Froome is still in the yellow jersey after the 8th stage of the Tour de France, leading by 12 seconds overall. Aussie Richie Porte is in 5th place. He's 39 seconds off the lead. 24-year-old Frenchman Lilian Carmagnan in his first tour won the stage overnight. Tonight's 9th stage into the Alps this year is considered the most brutal. England is in control of the first cricket test against South Africa at Lords. The home side lead by 216 runs with 9 wickets in hand after day 3. The supercars are in Townsville this weekend with the 70-lap second race scheduled for 4:10 this afternoon. Ford's Scott McLaughlin took out yesterday's race. Third round winners at Wimbledon overnight include Roger Federer, Novak Djokovic, Thomas Berdych, Sam Querrey, Grigor Dimitrov, Caroline Wozniacki, Agnieszka Radwanska, Svetlana Kuznetsova and Angelique Kerber. Meantime, Djokovic has joined the chorus of players complaining about the quality of the court surfaces. Djokovic says that they are in the worst condition he has ever experienced at the championships. Defending champ Andy Murray agrees. And earlier this week, French player Kristina Milenovic branded court 18 as dangerous. Bit of a worry, isn't it? Yeah. And this week wrapped up, boys, at the end of the week, the annual Kanga Cup, which is held in Canberra. It's Kanga actually Cup. Yeah, it's a huge tournament. It's the largest international youth football tournament in the Southern Hemisphere. It's under 8, I think, to under 18s. It's sanctioned by the FFA and the Asian Football Confederation. And two good stories to come out of this week. Number one, a little self-indulgent. Mm. Our niece, Mira Thomas, who plays for the Northbridge Under 11 Thunder team, went through undefeated and really? Won the whole thing.
Yep.
The Under 11 girls.
Playing against international teams.
Yeah. I think they won the grand final against Concord.
They did.
It was a great result by Mira.
Star Mira.
Yeah. And also the Gold Coast Pirates under 18 girls goalkeeper Isabella Quinn won the MVP for the under 18s. Now Isabella is legally blind and she's a goalkeeper.
You're kidding me.
She has no vision in her right eye, 35% vision in her left. And she plays soccer. Now she sees an ophthalmologist who has taught her techniques such as flight paths and echolocation, which helps her locate the ball and the players.
Doesn't she walk the grounds prior to a game?
Yes, she does.
The undulations of the ground, so
she can hear it.
All these things.
Wow.
She's a goalkeeper.
But the
great story.
But the star, I reckon, or the stars of the whole tournament have to be the parents who stand out there all week in negative temperatures in Canberra. Can you just imagine it?
It was minus 9 and minus 8 last Sunday and last Monday morning in Canberra for the soccer.
Oh, my Lord, was it really?
Early mornings, minus 9 and minus 8. Yeah,
that's dedication for you, isn't it?
Exactly.
Maybe a little Matilda, another Matilda in the family, in the Thomas family coming up. Little Mira.
Who's the other one? Polkinghorne. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Any other relatives of Ray and Tanya Thomas that want to get in touch with the program and give us a support? We'll update your sports through the course of a Sunday morning.
But that was really good. That
is fantastic. But wouldn't you just drop them off at the soccer and say, enjoy it, and you go to the cafe?
Yeah, take my tip. Hey, have your children play basketball. It's indoor all year round. Beautiful.
Very smart. Very smart. 1353 53, the open line number. We have got winners, so stop calling if you want winners for those tickets, courtesy of ANZ Stadium. By the way, get out there nice and early, because not only will there be 80,000 there on the Thursday, there'll be 100,000+ on the Saturday. Night,
because next door is the Giants versus the Sydney Swans clash. But just take that public transport, Jim.
Public transport's a great option. You know what I say, Ray? Train's the way to go.
100%.
Yeah. Liam, congratulations. You've won our Western Sydney Wanderers ticks, and Pasquale has won the Sydney FC ticks. So we've got all of those. It'll be coming your way. Courtesy of Arthur Stanley and the team out there at ANZ Stadium.
They do a super job.
They do a fantastic job and really look after this program. In fact, I think they have hosted Australia's Sporting Royal Couple on more occasions than any other venue in Sydney. So congratulations to ANZ Stadium on that. Fantastic. Just before we go to a break, let's take a caller. Chris is on the line. G'day, Chris.
Hello, Jim. How are you?
Very well, mate.
Now, this $2.10 about Queensland.
Yes.
You must be all over that, because you did say before game two that if we lost game two, it was over.
Yes, but Chris, in my defence, Jonathan Thurston, I didn't know, wasn't playing, nor Darius Boyd.
So what do you think now?
You can just see it play out so many ways, can't you? Like, New South Wales have to understand that they have to win the game, not hang on to the game. So the dominance that they can assert through the middle of the field, even if they don't turn it into points, they have to keep trying to turn it into points. And we know that this Queensland side is never beaten until you beat them.
So you'd still rather take the 2-10 Queensland?
No.
What?
No.
Wait a second. You're the guy who said it's over.
Yes, but you didn't understand what I just said post that, Chris, and that is that Jonathan Thurston is not there.
You didn't say that before.
Oh, well, all right.
You didn't see
the little asterisk that said, if there are any significant changes, i.e. Jonathan Thurston and Darius Boyd out. Jonathan Thurston's out of the game,
Jimmy,
Chris.
It's okay. Chris isn't told we've been there. Hey, Chris, who do you think can win then, mate? We'll turn it around here.
I'd probably take the 2-10 Queensland myself, but I'm just saying that two players from it's over to, okay, we'll win it now. I mean, I know Thurston's Thurston, but it's a bit of a backflip there, Jim.
Oh, hang on. If you start calling me Daily Cherry Evans, Chris, that's it.
I don't know. Do you regret saying that before game two?
Chris, I'm being serious now. Jonathan Thurston is the greatest player in the game, and he's not playing.
So you regret saying it?
I'll tell you what I regret, Chris. I think I regret taking this call this morning. I'm supposed to have a nice, easy 3 hours here at the radio station, go home and prepare myself for Christmas in July. What sort of state have you put me in, Chris?
I'm sorry, James. Okay, I'll get off now.
No, that's fine. But, Chris, you've got to understand that there's two significant players. One that's possibly the greatest player that's ever played the
game.
Chris
isn't told his opinion.
I know he is. No, he's saying that my opinion was wrong, but... All right, all things being equal, Melbourne Storm are Wilma Comp, unless Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Felix Slater are unavailable.
Chris, we'll give you an update on what could get a very ugly Christmas in July later on this afternoon. First thing tomorrow morning, and there's a CD packet coming your way, Chris.
Now you're rewarding, Chris, whatever you've got me.
Are you going to have humble pie for lunch, or...?
Oh, that's not bad.
Get
him the CDs.
See you later.
See you, Chris. We'll give him an update next Sunday. Could get very ugly, this.
Winter is here. There's no better way to shake off the winter blues than by celebrating Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Warm yourself up with a traditional festive lunch while enjoying spectacular views of the home straight.
And the rockets.
All the racing action, including the listed $150,000 winter stakes. Celebrate Christmas in July at Rose Hill Gardens. Hospitality packages start at only $99. Book your place today at www.theatc.com.au.
Ride the night with Trackside. For the first time ever, you can now experience the thrill of Trackside Thoroughbred, Grays and Harness Races under lights. Switching across to night racing from 7 p.m, you'll see Trackside as you've never seen it before. So, light up your night and play Trackside at your local tap venue. Gamble responsibly.
aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians, Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study.
If you've not had cancer, other than non-melanoma skin cancer, researchers want to hear from you.
Guys, if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up today at abcstudy.com.au. It's easy to do and can be done from home in your own time.
So come on, help yourself, your family and future generations in the fight against cancer. abcstudy.com.au. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
If only people knew what happened in the ad breaks. That's extraordinary. This has come from
privilege to be on the show.
This has come from Jack from Old Bar. Tomorrow on the BSB, Chris will be going in as the hero. Can I just say, Jimmy, look, Chris, sometimes, like in a horse race, if you back a horse on a Wednesday or a Thursday and all of a sudden on dry track and all of a sudden it's pouring down rain on Saturday morning, you change your bet. The variables can change. In this instance, there's a massive variable change from when you made that declaration a couple of weeks ago. Jonathan Thurston's not playing. That does move the goalposts a lot.
So now that Chris has got off the phone, you're with me.
No.
Because previously you were with him.
No, I was just saying his entire opinion. That was all. And I was just getting worried about you because your blood pressure was going through the roof.
You and producer Jeremy were talking during the break. Came in and we've had a think about it and we've decided Chris is right. So let's talk about the backup. Here's another one that's come in. Sports Brat. Jimmy Smith. Bad Sunday for him. Cheers, David. Yeah, you're right, David. Tell you what, it's always a good Sunday when we speak to Dean Bulldog Richie up there in New South Wales camp. G'day, Dino.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Dino.
You're posting pictures of yourself basically nude on Twitter. That's a real concern for, I guess, anyone who saw it, Dean. What prompted you to do that?
Well, I wasn't nude. I had my Reggies on.
Oh, hang on. You've just given me a mental image that I'll try to erase for the remainder
of
the day.
Enjoy your breakfast, Jimmy.
Hey, Dino, can you... I know I read the story. It's extraordinary. I've seen the video, but, mate, tell us about it. What was the... How bloody cold was it, basically?
Oh, it was a cryo-fix machine, Ray. You get in there, it actually... It's like a little chamber, and it goes down to minus 150 degrees. Mm. And you're in there for 3 minutes, and it's supposed to get out all the bumps and bruises. And, look, there's a million technical terms they use for it all, but it works. The players use it. And look, the machine, it's a portable machine. It's come up from Sydney. It's been out the front of the Mantra here at King's Cliff for the whole week, and the players have been in and out all week. And, look, you know, it seems like it's working, and everyone seems to be happy and healthy.
What have you done that needs cryo-fixing?
I trod in a bendy, Jimmy.
Boyd Cordner. Let's get to the real stuff. Boyd Cordner.
Is it helping him?
Yeah, how's he going with the cryo fix?
He's okay. I just saw him about 10 minutes ago, Jimmy. He seems okay, but...
Is he running yet?
He's walking with a lot of fluency, to be truthful. But they're off to a training session right now. It's a closed session. No media, so no prying eyes. Laurie Daly is going to hold a press conference at 1 o'clock. Today, where he will announce if there are any changes. Certainly, the two concerns are Boyd Cordner, Tyson Frizzell. Frizzell, I think you'll find, guys, will certainly play. The confidence levels in Cordner are increasing every day. I think my gut feeling is he will play. Mm. Today, of course, is the big session. Look, he's got to get through today to have any chance because they have a rest day tomorrow. And, of course, the captain's run on Tuesday is no more than 20, 25 minutes. So, today's the big session, so I guess within a couple of hours we'll know whether we need a new forward and a new captain.
Dino, has Cordon done any running at all this week in camp?
No, he hasn't, Ray. I'm sorry. He's done a little bit, Ray, just light stuff, okay. No contact just yet. It was quite a nice moment yesterday. The boys on the training field at Coogee, and Bordy was the last one that came out. He sort of ran onto the field. They all sort of gave him a bit of a clap and a bit of a rev up as he finally made the training field. So. But look, there was reports this morning that he powered through a session. He certainly didn't power through a session. But look, he did a little bit of work yesterday, and if he can get through today, they'll declare him fit.
Hey, Danny, we just had Wayne Pearce on in our legend spot previous. I don't know if you heard it, but we asked him for his selection on Wednesday night, and he believes the Blues will be hurting and, in his words, aching so much by that second half fade out in game two that will give them the edge on Wednesday night. What's your take on it? It's 1-1 Queensland. We know they're never beaten, in Jimmy's words, until they're beaten. What's your take on Wednesday night, mate?
We just had a chat to James Maloney downstairs, Ray, and he made a valid point. He said, destiny's in our hands. He said, look, if they play to their best and we play to our best, we'll win. So I think that's the inner confidence inside the Blues camp. It certainly wasn't said in any cocky way. It was just more, if we both play to our abilities, we know we can win. Perhaps in previous years, Ray, the Blues have gone in hoping to win, not expecting to win, but this side does expect to win. We saw that in game one. We saw how dominant they were for 60 minutes in game two. So look, if they turn up, if they play like they want to play, how they want to play, and if they can stick to what they do best, they will win, Ray. And look, I think they can win and win well. There's no doubt that they blew it. Sydney, they knew that. It was their golden opportunity to seal the series in front of 80,000 home fans. They didn't get the job done there. They knew it was a missed opportunity. I don't think that'll happen again.
You're close to Laurie Daly. Where does he think these players are going to turn out for Queensland? I'm still not convinced Michael Morgan will play left centre. I think maybe Cameron Munster will play in the 5/8 position. What's he going to do with Ben Hunt, Kevvy Waldles? Have you spoken to Laurie about that?
Yeah, they're sort of, I wouldn't say they're second guessing, Jimmy, but they're a bit like you and I. They're sort of thinking, well, if this could happen, that could happen. In the end, I guess it does your head in a bit. You just got to look after your own backyard. It's an old cliche, but it's probably true. But look, they've got formulated plans as to what they think will happen. But like you, we really don't know, as in the New South Wales camp, how it's going to pan out. They do say, though, probably that it'll be a different defensive lineup, and they're hoping that because it's unfamiliar, that they might be able to expose a few chinks in that defensive lineup. So, look, I guess we'll have to wait till game to find out. But certainly the Blues, they're across it, Jimmy. But I guess, like all of us, having a few second guesses.
Win, lose or draw, do you think Laurie Daly will be coach of New South Wales after 2017?
Yeah, I do. I think he'll come back. It's not quite that simplistic, though, Jimmy. I think if he does lose, he may walk away. If he wins, he may come back. But look, it may also be taken out of Laurie's hands. They may opt to go elsewhere. But certainly, there's some influential board members on that New South Wales board which want Laurie to stay. They see the future as being very bright. He's just not staying there at the moment because he just wants to literally focus on game three.
Sure.
There's no point in sort of second guessing what the future may hold, because the future may revolve around what result we get.
Yeah, so much riding on Wednesday night. What about today, Dino? Bulldogs versus the Knights. Big game for, well, mainly Josh Reynolds, his last game at Belmore.
Yeah, it certainly is. It'll be an emotional afternoon out there at Belmore. They do get a nice crowd there. And the record, funnily enough, in recent years, isn't great at Belmore. But the Dogs, I've checked in with them this morning. They say they're 1-17, all sweet. Up at the Knights, Jalen Feeney, Tyler Randall, they will drop out. Brock Lamb will come back in and he will play in the halves. Just before I go, guys, Bulldogs are in talks to take some matches out to Orange. So watch for an announcement soon there that they might take a game or two out to the regional centres, which is great.
Yep.
And big Manu Vadavai, a real cult figure under the Warriors, under contract for next year. I think you'll find he'll get out of that deal for next year and end up at Salford over there in England.
Well, the Salford City Reds, the pride of the city. Good on you, Dino. I appreciate that, mate. I know you are close to the team, but and we joke about it a bit, but good luck on Wednesday.
Yeah, it should be a great night. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ray. Cheers, boys.
See you, Dino.
There he is, Dean Bulldog Richie, with all the latest from inside the New South Wales Blues camp. $2.10 Queensland. And Jonathan Thurston's not there, Chris. $1.75 New South Wales. The Bulldogs $1.36. Newcastle $3.15. And the line is 7.5 in that game. A break and back with more.
Join the Dynamic Syndications Gay and Adrian team in the first yearling by champion Dundeal. 10 wins, 6 group ones and over $5.3 million. From Fund Zero, half sister to the dam of champion 2-year-old Moss Fund.
He was a standout at the Magic Millions. What a great racehorse Dundeal was, and what a cracking family this filly has. The Dundeal filly should be a Dundeal.
Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360808.
When you download Radio App, it'll put a smile on your face. Now every station you know and love is in one easy place. Yeah, I know you got a radio, but it's sitting in your kitchen. I mean, what use is that in habitats more akin to fishing? So go on, download Radio App and take off anywhere. Because across the nation, your favourite station for the company you there. Radio app. Your radio, wherever you are. Download from the App Store or Google Play.
Four strokes.
You better believe it. Wow!
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
A win to Wenny in the Intra Super Premiership yesterday, so Scotty Foster will be bouncing around this morning. G'day, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, very happy today. Wenty and Parramatta winning, so
yeah.
A very good day today. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what.
You wouldn't
good.
Believe it, boys, too. Wenty beat Newtown and the great Sid Sparrow. He played a few games for Newtown back in 1910.
Yeah, well spotted, that.
Bobby Sabori.
Yeah. Yes, so to midnight, my apologies for saying that he made up Sid Sparrow, but yeah, he actually lost his life in the war.
Yeah, in World War One.
He did.
World War One.
Yeah.
So he should be captain coach of that side. Mm. Now, let's talk about the car you've got today for the listeners. 2003 Mazda 6 Luxury Sports Hatchback. Sounds good.
Yeah, this is a cracking car, Jimmy. It's a one owner with logbooks and impeccable service history. The Luxury Sports Hatch comes with climate control air conditioning, power steering, 6 airbags, ABS brakes, traction control, electronic stability control, leather seats and a leather steering wheel. It's got the power sunroof, power windows, power mirrors. It's got a sports body kit, sports suspension and 17-inch alloy wheels. It's a 4-cylinder, 2.3-litre engine and a 5-speed manual transmission. This is a sporty hatch. It's very economical, very reliable, but most importantly, it's also very safe. This is one beautiful and luxurious hatch, and it's on sale today for just $6,990. It's a steal, and that also includes our 3-year warranty for even more peace of mind. So go to the website www.fostersqualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024 and let us help you get into that car.
And Scotty, you've got some great finance packages available for anyone who does perhaps need some help with finance.
Yeah, we certainly do. We've got great finance packages available. We're helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. If you've had credit issues in the past, and now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, you're new to Australia or on a student visa, we can help you. If you're on sickness benefits and starting a new business and you need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, we can help. So go to the website www.fostersqualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024 because we can help you get driving today.
Now, you mentioned the win from Wenty yesterday, but you've got a big family fun day coming up in a couple of weeks' time. People should put it in their diaries.
Yeah, certainly do. We have our annual family fun day. That's going to be on Sunday, July 30. We have 3 big games of rugby league, but we'll also have all the rides and slides and face paintings and animal rides for the kids. So it's a big day. We get plenty of people out there. It's also free entry. We just ask for a gold coin donation to go towards one of the local charities there. But it's a huge day. Everything's free, and the kids and the families love it. So that's the 30th of July.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Good on you, mate. Appreciate
all
that,
right,
Scotty. We'll speak next week.
Have a great day.
There
see you, Scotty.
Scotty Foster. If you want to go online, fosterqualitycars.com.au. If you've got a thought on a car you like, that you want, that's exactly what we did
he
a few years ago.
You.
Pick out the car you want, they'll go and source it for you.
Yep.
And they'll get the job done for you there too, which is exactly what the Smith family did a few years ago. Coming up on Racing HQ, full graft and preview with Gary Cleese, Wagga Wagga after 11 with John Scorse, and of course the BSB tomorrow at 5:30 with TK back in the saddle, and then they're up to Queensland, Brisbane, for the State of Origin 3, which is huge. So fantastic heroes and villains tomorrow too. So ring in there if you want to make Chris your hero. That'd be funny, Jack from Olbar.
You get to sleep in tomorrow, Jim.
I do get to sleep in tomorrow. And
timely.
No, I'm looking forward to it. We get hoof-hearted on Twitter that says this, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Andre Agassi became a better player and a person after he split up with Brooke Shields. Maybe Bernie should hook up with Brooke and go through the same process. And then Sparty replied, yes, good point. Modern-day Brooke Shields is Taylor Swift. So I'm suggesting he sends her a highlight reel.
Oh, very funny. Who wins Wimbledon? I'm going Federer and Kerber. I know Kerber's been struggling.
Yeah, she should have lost that match that we were watching this morning, wasn't it?
She can turn the corner. I think Federer's going okay.
That really surprises me, Ray, that you've
Federer
gone for Roger.
Pretty obvious, isn't it?
I'll tell you what. If I was Tanya, I'd be a little bit concerned. If your proximity was a bit closer to Roger Federer, say, look, Tanya, it's been great, but...
Tanya has no issues.
Me and Rog.
No worries.
Me and Rog. Now, what about Wednesday night, State of Origin? What are your thoughts?
I don't think it'll be the blowout that Zorb and Dina are predicting. I think New South Wales can win. I'm happy with the win by 2 points, Jimmy.
Did you nearly call me
Dino? Almost called you Dino, sorry. Happy if they win by 2.
Of all the things you've done to me over the years, Ray.
Done to you? What have I done to you?
Oh, rorting the quiz and all that. By the way, Dave from Wattlegrove, no, I don't think I ever will win again.
It'll turn. It always
of
turns.
All the things you've done, the fact that you nearly called me Dean Bulldog Richie there was perhaps the most upsetting. New South Wales 1-12. It's more of a hope and a prayer than anything. So let's hope. It's going to be fantastic. Speaking of fantastic, really looking forward to the Christmas in July this afternoon, Raymond, where we'll be down by the water somewhere, enjoying little drinks with